Good evening, everybody. English, I'll learn it. You're listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than spontaneous dyslexia. The number to call in is 845-986-8804, 845-986-8804. Of course, you could join our chat room, The Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you are listening to one of our awesome affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com. Go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat, and go! I'm your host, Davin Rosemont. I am joined by the lovely Pip Helix. And, of course, Joe Curry will be here, in about a half an hour or so. On tonight's show, Pip will decide if it is Joe or I that is in the barrel. As she's got some current events. We don't know what they are, but we will each have a minute to find the funny in those current events. So, Pip's always good at judging that. We're excited for that, Pip. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Joe has to get here for that. So
yes.
If Joe does not get here for that, Joe is in the barrel.
Permanently.
Yes. And, of course, we also will be doing some more Ann Jackson. We'll see how she made out with her hackers. See if she's being hacked. So we got lots
to pieces.
Of, what?
To pieces.
Oh, don't say that. That's a terrible thing.
I know.
Why would you wish that on her? She's brought us so much.
No, I don't wish that on
her. I think you do a little bit. I think you do.
Yeah. No, it's just the season. It's almost Halloween. I start getting more and more ghoulish as we get closer to the day.
I saw your profile picture on your Facebook page. It looks like you're finally willing to reveal who you are.
Yeah.
Quite scary.
I know. Well, I mean, that is how I've been. That is who I've been all along. But I have at least one friend who threatens to unfriend me temporarily during the season because as we get closer to Halloween, my pictures get more and more sick, and she can't handle it by the end.
Wait till they. Well, you, of course, you were married on Halloween, so we all look forward to your wedding picture, which is the scariest of them all.
Oh, it frightens us.
It most certainly does. Well, speaking of emotional roller coasters.
Yes.
It's been one heck of an emotional roller coaster for yours truly this past week.
Oh, yeah.
So the wife sat Shiva in New Jersey this week with her mom and her sisters. For those of you who don't know what Shiva is, it's not something you use to stab somebody while in prison.
It is, but...
No, that's a shiv.
That's
a shiv. A little different.
Okay.
A little different.
Sorry, I got excited.
You want it to be stabbed?
No. Shivs.
What?
They're like presents in my house.
What are you talking about?
Never mind. Move on.
Well, what are you talking about?
Shivs, you know, like the little stabbers in
prison.
Those
are presents in your house.
Yeah, because we're sick. I'm going with the ghoul theme.
All right. I will move on. I should have followed your advice.
See? Told you.
So Shiva is what Jews do for a week when a close family member, like a parent, spouse, or child, passes away. So people come over to your house, and it's designed to be a distraction from the despair. But it can be, you know, now Pip came over.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a bit odd when you don't know what's going on and you don't know people. People could say inappropriate things. I can only imagine what it felt like for you being surrounded by all these Jews and non-Jews, staring at all these grieving people with no television.
With no television?
Well, because you can't watch TV, so you're forced to make conversation or sit quietly.
I actually think it's really strange when you go over to people's house and they have the television on.
Yeah, not for Shiva?
Yeah, for at all.
Oh, well, why?
It's weird. Well, if they've invited you over and it's not to watch a TV show, then it's...
When you came over before the TV was on.
Yeah, I know, but you're here alone and then we're going to work.
I made sure I pulled up my pants in time. I checked the clock. I'll finish with you later.
Wait a minute, you didn't say what kind of job I had to do.
No, I think it's understood.
Yeah, I think so. But when you come over somebody's house, you know, to spend the evening with them, are they going to watch television or talk to you? I didn't think it was odd at all. What's going on here?
We are having all sorts of issues right now.
What's going on?
I don't know, but I see on our air we're on, but I see other places we are not.
Oh, no. You know, well, I was saying to Lisa in the den pen, hello, Lisa, and our other densters, that we were having tech issues. And, so it's a mixed bag about whether they can hear us or not. Lisa can't. Joe's girl can.
Well, everything seems to be coming back now.
Okay. There's always something.
But there really is.
You know, Mr. Helix has been saying that he's been having all kinds of issues at his radio station. The equipment is just sort of spontaneously dying on him. And,
is there a warning? Did it leave a note?
No, it's just all of a sudden, boom, like the computers have been crashing.
Well, Mr. Heel looks much like myself. When he's doing his show, he's his own engineer.
Yes.
So Mr. Helix and I are kind of in that same boat. Like, but at least he goes to music.
Right.
If you're still broadcasting.
Yeah, if you are.
You know, because sometimes you hear a station and it cuts off. I go to Helix.
Yeah.
it's pretty much what it is.
It's like you. Okay. Yeah, I know.
You actually do quite well in that situation. When you were not here one of the times and Joe had to do it.
Right.
It was terrible.
Well, Joe likes to bounce off of somebody.
Joe should have bounced off of a brick wall. Joe, he had nothing. It was painful. It's like, once again, you realize how much you add. I mean, we bust your chops with your unfunny things, which are regular. But you're quite conversational. And it's not easy to talk. If you're used to having, like Joe was, of bouncing off somebody.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's like, you can't do that. You got to just talk. It's not easy to do.
I suppose it's not, but I always figure that I'm talking to our listeners.
Right. That's what you do. Yeah. And you have that conversation with them.
Yeah, because I have to speak to you two, but I want to speak to them.
I understand that. I feel the same way. But Joe did not have that. But that very often is what's going on. Like, if you see large chunks of time where it seems like I must have left the show, and is what you call better radio... I'm still here. I'm just usually corresponding or calling or feverishly working on stuff.
Yeah, he's banging on the computer with a big, you know, anvil.
But it's only one of us with me, when only one of you with me, I have to really listen with half an ear.
Yes.
To still, you know.
Yeah, because there might be things that I'm saying to you, or I might be completely ignoring you and say, okay, guys, now it's my show. All right, now let's talk.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
No.
Nobody wants the cat hour.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. You know, there are other crazy cat people out there.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, go on. So you were talking about the television.
Oh yeah, I think it's kind of bizarre. I mean, I have one or two friends that we're close enough and we've known each other long enough that, you know, if I just like drop over, we'll sit and the TV's on and we might like we're half talk or we'll half watch. Especially my one friend Barbara, we sit and we watch HGTV because that's like porn for women. I've told you that before. Oh, it's great. And so we're like, oh, my God, look at that. They're freaking out about the wall colors again. Just pick the damn house. You can paint it. What's wrong with you? I mean, you have no imagination. And we enjoy doing that. It's
because you're hens.
Yes, we are. We are. I'm proud of it. But, you know, we sit there with a little wine and our HGTV and, you know, we chat and stuff. I don't mind when the TV's on when I go over her house or some of my friends like that. But if you invite somebody over...
Well, Shiva isn't an invite to socialize.
It's not. So I wouldn't expect a television to be on. I actually...
It can't be on. You're not supposed to watch TV during Shiva.
No, I know. I know. But I also didn't expect it to be, like, it's not time for the family who is mourning to be entertaining you. But you're...
Well, you know, a little song and dance is nice.
You know what?
The little floor show.
The little hats and the canes, I thought, was a little disrespectful.
You thought it was a little much?
Yeah. I wish...
Well, when you came, I was not there, because I had a whole burlesque show planned.
Oh. I
okay. Haven't I been hurt enough?
Yes, actually. I should have said, ooh, God.
No. That was your genuine response, and that's fine. Go on.
That's kind of like your brother saying that he just jumped out of the tub.
But in your case, that happens quite a bit.
What, my brother jumps out of the tub?
Pimp Helix telling you, I'm going to jump out of the tub. He's a crazy man.
Yeah, it's like, I won't be in the room to see that. Ew. But your wife's family is very entertaining. They get along really well, and they can't help them. You know, I mean, of course, they're mourning, but they weren't, at the time, they weren't just sitting there being very sad. They were telling stories.
I mean, you're sitting there for hours on end.
Yeah.
You know what I find, at least it was for me, because I was away this past week, and, you know, talking to other people that have been mourning through this and other process, it's the time alone.
That's the brutal.
You know, when there's nobody there to distract you. You know, I'm flying across the country and you know, I have all my thoughts. And, you know, for my family in this case, it's, you know, when they lay their head on the pillow at night or in the shower.
Yes.
I mean, the whole theory behind Shiva seems pretty cool, but it can also be a lot because you're just, you know, you're kind of wallowing in it.
Yeah.
You know, you really can't distract yourself. Like a lot of people, if they're grieving, they go to work. Because they're like, what am I going to do here?
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do here. I'll lose myself in my job.
Right.
But
right.
Sheva doesn't give you that option.
I'm not really sure what... I mean, you said that it's supposed to be a distraction from the grieving, but it just seems like really, really putting a fine point on it. Like, you're going to sit here and you're going to grieve, damn it. And you're going to grieve for a long time, and you're going to be uncomfortable.
Were you uncomfortable?
No, I was not.
Oh, okay.
But now... well, this goes into a whole thing. I don't know if you're going to talk about that, but I learned a lot about the custom.
Okay.
I learned about the low chairs, and I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know the meaning behind that. I should.
No, I asked.
Oh, thank goodness somebody's taking an interest in Judaism.
Well, I...
Because as this show is established, clearly it's not me.
I asked, and a couple people floated theories, but there was no definitive answer.
Much
about
like
what...
Judaism and any other religion, it's smoke and mirrors and some BS, but yeah, we'll go with that one. It really is.
There's sometimes, that in every religion, there are things where you have to, you tilt your head and say, huh?
My mom gave me quite the talking to, because there wasn't anybody there but my mom and, like, my sister-in-law and my wife, maybe my mother-in-law. So for a split second, I wanted to see what those chairs felt like, because they're lower,
yes,
but they were cushy and everything.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see what my mom's like, don't sit in the chair, don't sit. I'm like, please. My father-in-law would not care about the pageantry of it all.
Well, why wouldn't you be one of the mourners?
Well, because I'm not direct family.
Oh, seriously? But you're...
I mean, I'm mourning, but it's really for your spouse and your kids or your brother and sister siblings.
Oh, really? Not a son-in-law? You don't count?
Well, I mean, how many son-in-laws really do?
I mean, but as far as being counted as one of the mourners, no?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. But I actually, with the chairs, because they have little itty-bitty legs, and so at first I thought they were like lawn chairs or something, but they were cushy.
Hey, somebody bring me a couple of beers.
Well, it was strange because they're short like lawn chairs, but they're cushy like car seats.
I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, and so I didn't, and I'd never been to your sister-in-law's house, so I didn't know. Was this, like, maybe, like, furniture they had from the den or something? Because there were a lot of chairs.
This was brought over by their temple.
Yes.
There's, like, a Shiva committee.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
It's helpful.
Yeah, but depressing. Hey, we're here when somebody died. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Cookies? No. It's really, I mean, it's very important.
Yes.
But, you know, I would not want to be on the Shiva committee.
No, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's me again.
Hi, somebody else died. Okay, you knew you were going to see me.
It's like being a professional griever.
Or like the specter of death itself.
Well,
you know,
death,
like,
has already shown itself,
right? But don't you kind of feel like that?
I don't know. I wouldn't be in part of a committee unless I was running it. I think we've established this, and I certainly wouldn't want to be in a Shiva committee.
Yeah.
I would be completely inappropriate.
Yeah,
not my strength.
What, you'd want to crack jokes? Bad
I
timing.
Would crack jokes.
Yes, you would.
I would.
Bad timing.
And I'd look around like, what? No good. All right, I'll go to the barrel.
What? Too soon?
I want to crack jokes about the deceased.
Well,
unless it was like Donald Trump.
Inappropriate. Yeah. Then we'd be having a party. But inappropriate time for a roast.
I wouldn't have a party.
Yeah. What, for Donald Trump?
No, I wouldn't have a party.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. Well, that's you. You're very terrible. You're
awful.
You're more despicable than I.
I won't dispute it.
Okay. I won't argue it.
You've had a rough week. I will not dispute it.
If only Joe was here. Number to call in, 845-986-8804, 845-986-8804. You are listening to Davin's, and we're talking Shiva talk. something nice and upbeat on your Tuesday evening.
Lisa joined in the fun. She said, Davin, you count sometimes.
I'm like a stepchild.
Oh, snap. Lisa says about the Shiva committee. She said the rabbi from the school probably heads that committee. That's so great.
I don't even know what to make of that. I don't even know what that means.
Well, that rabbi that
I know who she meant.
Yeah. It wouldn't be such a downer.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to, like, lash into Lisa, and I don't know if I should or not. I'm like, I genuinely do not understand the comment, so I do not know if I have to sink my fangs into her or what.
I think it's an awesome comment because it shows how much attention she pays to the show and how loyal she is.
All right. Consider my fangs unsunk.
Yes, there you go. Pull them back in. Yeah. We're not going to be milking you for venom today.
No, just milk me for the usual. Love your technique.
Ooh.
Should be pretty quick tonight.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Well,
So you're in the midst of the Shiva.
Yes.
So are you nervous going to the Shiva?
No.
Did you know I wasn't going to be there?
No.
Did that suck when I wasn't there?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's good. You're very confident. I would have been very uncomfortable.
No. Well, I mean, I know your wife.
Well, that's who you're going for. You're not going for me, but still.
She said, oh, I'm sorry, Davin left. And I'm like, I'm here to see you.
I'm sorry, Davin left. Things nobody's ever said before.
I mean, not that I wouldn't have been happy to see you, but I mean, the thing was that I was there to pay respects to her and her family. Because,
and that was very nice of you.
Well.
That was very,
well,
very
like
sweet.
I said, your family. I mean, you know.
Says a lot about you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mm. Yeah. But but the thing is, I didn't know what the proper protocol was. Mm-hmm. So I looked it up online.
Smart.
You know.
It's amazing what one can do.
Amazing.
When one takes the 5 minutes to look for something online.
When somebody just takes the initiative and says, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. Let me not completely cock it up and try to do the right thing.
I respect that.
Yeah, so I looked it up.
Okay.
And so I said, well, you know, I thought, well, what's the right thing to bring, you know? And
did you ask yourself, what would Jesus do?
No, I didn't. Oh. I never asked myself that. Oh. I'm not really interested.
Hmm. What would Jesus do? Hold on, mister. Don't care.
Yeah. I go, and I don't even know what site popped up, but it said baked goods. And I was like, awesome, thank you. So I knew, and I love arugula, so I had that on my mind that mm-hmm. that's what I was going to bring. But so I thought, well, where will I go? And I'm like, I'm going to just make it simple for myself, and I'm going to look up kosher bakery in that town.
Go to Pathmark.
No. Butterflake.
Butterflake, excellent place to go?
Yeah.
But Pathmark has a kosher bakery, too, in that town.
See, I would have assumed, considering the demographics of the town. But I thought I'd play it.
Oh, yeah. Teaneck is Jewy. Teaneck is very Jewy, very African-American, very Indian-y.
Indian-y? Yeah. I figured that I would find a place, you know?
Yeah, especially, you know, Jews bake goods. They go hand in hand.
Well, I see a lot of kosher signs and stuff, so I knew that I would find something.
Yes.
You know?
When the next pogrom happens, it's starting in Teaneck.
There's one thing I had not prepared myself for, though.
What's that?
Well, first of all, I went in there and it smelled really good. Everything smelled good. And it was a bakery.
Oh, in Butterflake.
Good. Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant like you went to my sister-in-law's house and it smelled good.
You know, well, not
I thought there'd be cat turds all over the place. I didn't know.
Not that I was expecting it to smell bad, but no, I expected the bakery to smell good, and it did. So I was like, that's good. And then I went in, and I'm all confident. I know what I'm going to get. I don't really see a whole lot of arugula around, and I thought, well, maybe I'm just looking in the wrong case. So I go over, and I think, I'm going to pass this. I don't even have to out myself as goy. I can just march in there and get what I want. Nope. Nope. Because even though I went to a kosher bakery, I hadn't studied enough, and I didn't expect this question. Dairy or parv?
Mm, you didn't know what parv was.
And all of a sudden,
parv is non-dairy.
Yeah, I immediately started crying. I'm not Jewish. I don't know.
But they don't have just Jews there. But
no.
But the proper move when going to a kosher bakery is you get the marble rye.
Of course.
If Seinfeld has taught us nothing,
get the damn marble rye
or the chocolate babka.
Actually, I was wrestling with this old lady. And she didn't even have a marble rye. I just felt like wrestling with her.
Yeah, I bet you could kick her butt.
I did. Took out some teeth. And so, actually, I was going with the opinions of the Jewish people that were friendly, that were in the store. And they all talked me into a circular cake. A black and white circular cake.
Racist.
Okay.
Racist.
Somebody at work told me that the circle
of
life.
We call that the Shvatza and Shiksa cake. So we call letting it inside. I'm removing the veil, if you will.
Schwarze Schicksal. I had a date like that.
Sure,
so,
you did.
So the thing was that they had a little bit of arugula, but she like talked me out of her for some reason. She's like, no, you want this cake? And I'm like, okay, I guess I do.
No, you want this cake. We've had it since yesterday. Really, that's the cake you should get.
But I had been talking about arugula at work, and I was determined to bring some to work. So I got a little box of them, and with both the cake and the arugula, they're like dairy or parve, and I'm like, I don't know. So I figured dairy's got to taste better than fake buttery stuff.
No, they know how to fake it good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like a woman who's been in a 20-year marriage and still gives a damn. You know,
still giving it that A for effort.
Yeah, they know how to fake it. They've become pros. Yeah, Butterfly's been in business a long time. They know how to fake it. You know, a woman that's been married a long time knows how to fake it too. She still cares what her man
thinks. Yes! Yes! Rugla! Yes!
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 Yes! So, but yeah, Butterflake is your fake orgasm for bakeries.
Yep.
I think that's their marketing slogan. We should talk to them about sponsoring us.
I have to take a look at the sticker that they put on it. But it is nice that they mark it, so that in case you are Jewish,
I'm pretty sure they probably have like two separate baking areas and ovens.
They probably do. Yeah. But I was thinking to myself, okay, well, I mean, I don't know how kosher everybody is on Lisa's side of the family, but it's like, I'm like, unless they're going to throw this dairy cake on top of a brisket, what's the difference?
Well, that because depending on the custom, you can't have dairy.
Yeah.
For a certain amount of hours.
After
like three.
Meat. Yeah. Yeah. So I figured, well, you'll just have to wait. You know?
It goes back to my old joke. You never see an Orthodox Jew in a strip club. It's because you can't mix the milk with the meat. That was like one of the first jokes I wrote.
Anybody get it?
Yeah, they get it. You know, I'll play it on, like, in front of like a Jewish audience or something. But if I remember, but that one seldom gets dusted off.
When I was younger, I didn't know. I wasn't thinking. I didn't really actually know. The delis in my neighborhood were usually like German delicatessens. They weren't kosher delis, mm-hmm. And so I didn't know from ordering kosher. And I went into a kosher deli in the city. Being very green from the suburbs, and I went to order a ham and cheese sandwich, and I was not trying to be a smart ass. And they looked at me like, die, Shiksa, die! And I just thought, what'd I do?
Not so inviting?
Yeah, no. They weren't happy.
All right, so you make your purchase.
Yeah, I made my purchase.
Okay.
I was confident until I got to the house, and then I realized that there were different levels of kosher being kept it within her family.
But Butterflake's fine in any place. Butterflake is fine.
Okay. So
you did good.
All right, good.
And you got to remember, there's members of the family that, like my wife, are really barely Jewish anyway.
Right, I know. Yeah. Well, I knew that she'd be able to eat whatever I showed up with, but I didn't know the family.
My sister-in-law, where you went,
yes,
is the most religious.
Yes.
That being said, you know, what they do now in the house is very strict.
Okay.
I've talked about this before.
Yes.
The key to, sometimes when Jews go out or they're out of town, the rules bend a little bit. I've again, in the act, once again proves the key to Judaism is location, location, location.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? We're out of town. I think that we could just slide on the whole idea.
But you know what? In that situation, it's the thought.
Yes.
It's,
Well, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I just didn't know.
Nobody thinks you were being disrespectful.
When I came across it was a good fish out of water moment because I was like,
Jews!
Yeah! No.
All right, raise your hand. How many of you are doctors? How many are lawyers? How many are accountants? Those are the Jews I'm familiar with. The rest, I need to meet you individually.
And assess the situation.
You scream Jews the way they did in Revenge of the Nerds. Nerds! Nerds!
Yes, Jews! Well, I was saying something to your wife, and by way of explanation for my not knowing what was going on, I know, I was asking a question about the short chairs, and her sister
and she said, well, Davin's not very tall.
Her sister was speaking to was attending something else for a second, and turned and said, what did she just say? Because when your wife said, these are for the mourners, I just raised my hand and said, goy,
like guilty guy,
and
all the heads slowly turned.
Your sister-in-law said, "What did she say?" And they cracked up. They just all laughed. So funny. At least she knows. Because
she's not one of us heathen.
Yeah, and it's like I know. So whenever I made a faux pas, I just stuck up my hand and went, "Goy."
That's funny.
Yeah,
bringing the humor. So what was the answer for the short chairs?
You know what they surmise that it was something to be closer to the ground,
right,
for humility, and to be closer to the person who has passed and is being buried.
Okay.
That was what was thrown around there. Godel says something about same with halal. What is...
Halal.
Oh, halal is the Muslim version, he's saying, of keeping kosher or what.
Well,
you're
it's a little different.
Eat,
like, but
or... now,
I don't. I did. I was unfamiliar with halal that they did the milk and the meat thing. I was unfamiliar with that. Mm-hmm. I know both Muslims and Jews have a shared disdain for pork. Officially,
yes. Officially,
officially, you know. As far as the Jews, I know, and off the record, hey, you know, bacon's bacon. But I don't know as far as the Muslims, although I know with the Muslims, alcohol, who's looking? But everybody's got their thing.
Yeah, everybody, you know, like, slips up someplace.
With Jews, it's bacon. With Muslims, it's, you know, it's alcohol. With Catholics, it's little boys. Everybody has their thing that you're not supposed to do, but when nobody's looking, you do it. Because God can't see everywhere, even though he is everywhere.
Well, he can't see if you're eating over the sink. That doesn't
count. Is
that
the rule? Well, also that you don't get fat if you're eating crumbs.
Right. Crumbs don't count.
Free food does not count.
Free food doesn't count. Eating over the sink, no calories.
Yeah. Because it goes straight down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't have time to stick to your ribs.
No. Can't. No. Can't do anything. Yeah. Yeah. That explains a lot for me.
Big sink eaters we are.
Oh, God, I lost my train of thought. I totally derail, like, at least 20 times a day. Mm. I'm a FEMA event. Hazmat. Problem.
Well, I mean, the whole shiver thing was I would go a couple hours during the day.
Yes.
When my wife was sitting down there. I couldn't even be with her when she sat up here by herself because I was flying across the country.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt very isolated.
Of course.
It really kind of sucked. But, I mean, I had to be here to take care of my daughter, get her off the school bus, make sure the homework gets done, all of her extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
So it kind of sucked, and I think it kind of sucked for my wife, too. And yeah. She wouldn't get home till like, 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Tiring. And also, it's really... It is helpful. I mean, in my family, and I'm not being racist when I say this, but we...
Everything else you say is a little racist.
Because we're... You know, we're German and Irish, but we identify with the, like, Irish tradition of, you know, you have kind of a, not a raucous week, but you...
It's a little bit more upbeat.
A little bit more upbeat, and, you know, we have very dark senses of humor, and that's how we get through sad times.
Well, I think a lot of cultures do.
Yeah, and so, you know, there was, even though it was the most terrible day, or one of the most terrible days, my own father's memorial, I was playing practical jokes on my brother. Just because that's what you do.
Nothing like auditioning for Practical Jokers while burying dad. Hey, who saw the whoopee cushion? Friend. Oh, that tip. She's a cracker.
No, he was obsessing about his shoes. He's a little OCD. Who? My brother.
Oh.
Big,
Big pimp.
Papa pimp.
Big pimp a pump. Big, I don't, whatever the
I don't,
fuck.
Whatever the hell he came up with.
I don't know.
He was obsessing about his shoes. He gets into these certain things.
Pimp Helix, that's what he is.
Yeah, Pimp Helix, thank you. And so he was obsessing about how shiny his shoes were. And I was like, you have rubbed those things until they're going to fall apart. Will you stop?
I can tell you, it gets to a point when you rub something until it's going to fall apart, it starts to become diminished returns.
Yeah, yeah, you know, because now there's chafing.
Yeah, yeah, so you got to know when to say when.
Yeah. And so he was just getting like, oh, I think they're scuffed or something.
He was distracting himself.
He was. But he also has that little bit of OCD, so he would have like rubbed them into the ground. Anyway,
now we know what to get him for the holidays, a little lotion.
And a little shoebox, you know, so he can make some earnings while he's going to be obsessed.
Mm.
You know, kind of his fetish. Mm. Anyway, so I get my friend, who is a really... also a terrible person like myself, to go over to him and say, oh, you know, I'm sorry about your dad, and, oh, it's too bad about your shoes. And he looks down at his shoes like, oh, my God, they are terrible. And then he looks over, and me and my friends, who are alerted to the gag, are all cracking up and pointing at him. And he looked at me like, you are the most evil person on the planet at our father's memorial. I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's how you get that title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I win.
I mean, to do it around Thanksgiving, yes, anybody could do that.
Please.
But when you're burying your own dad, that's what, good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what we love about you. Yeah. You bring a special sort of coldness and insensitivity. Yet, some would say you're the nicest one on the show.
Oh, that's really saying something about you guys, isn't it?
Does. Me and Joe are kind of proud of that. Although Joe kind of chafes at it. But
what? He thinks he's not evil?
No, I think Joe actually believes the BS that some of the Island comics and Jersey comics say, how Joe's one of the nicest guys. I think Joe actually believes that BS.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, because as we know, nuh-uh.
Yeah, yeah. Did you torment your brother at your father's?
Raise your game, fucker.
Yeah, really. I brought it.
Yeah, you did. That's what we love about you.
Thank you. Yeah, but I don't do that at other people's.
No, well, we appreciate your decorum. You're an inspiration.
I try to control myself.
Yeah, you're amazing. So my wife and my sister-in-law went to pick up my mother-in-law from the airport.
Yes.
Because my mother flew up to mourn with her family instead of sitting down in
alone.
Yeah, in Florida, which I can't imagine.
Ugh.
So they pick her up. So they recently sold their old house in July.
Right.
So they haven't really done much. The new people haven't really done much with the house. But my
yeah,
mother,
it's
my
new.
Right. Well,
you know.
So the mother-in-law is like, can we just drive by slowly?
Oh, yeah. I would want to go see.
Absolutely. So they do. They creep, like I used to when I was in high school. And
a drive-by shooting.
No, I mean, you know, when the girlfriend is driving you nuts and you break up for the 50th time and you drive, is she home? Is the light on?
Somebody else's car parked outside?
Did a ton of that. You park down the block. You look up at the mirror like a creep. Ugh.
Everybody does that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, that's what you do until you get old enough to go, F it.
Yeah. I really don't care.
Well, I mean, still, I mean, you find other things to distract you as you get older. Thank God for the internet.
Yeah, but now you creep on them on Facebook.
Exactly. Where's Google Earth? I'll tell them. You know, that's the great thing about Google Earth. You no longer have to spend money for gas to stalk.
No.
Mwah. Thank you.
Thank
Google.
You.
Thank you, Google Earth.
Many hours happily spent.
Sure,
creeping.
I can stalk from the comfort of my own home. Really quite wonderful. Don't have to worry about, like, washing my pants because I got grass stains in the knees. Don't have to awkward. I think nobody's home. Then they awkwardly catch me in the bushes. There's no more of that. No more. Google Earth is a stalker's friend.
Awkwardly catch you in the bushes. There's no kind of decorum.
Unless you're a gardener.
Yeah, there's
and
no
you
reason.
Happen to enjoy working at night.
Yeah, it's
1 a.m. Oh, I'm just weeding.
I'm looking for those special spiders that only come out at night. I was going to try to get rid of those.
But we heard you guys broke up. Well, I still felt a duty to these shrubs. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Hey, Joe.
Hi.
Oh, puberty kicked in for Joe. That's nice. 13-year-old Joe Curry.
Yeah.
Did you get my text warning you about the closed street?
All right, we don't need to talk about that now.
No, I know. I just wanted to ask.
Nobody gives a shit about Joe's route to get here.
I was driving like, man, no, I didn't, but I shall see it later, but I guess it's too late. But thank you for the thought.
Yes, okay.
There's plenty of thoughts you wouldn't thank her for. I guess that would be one you would.
Oh, Lisa calls that vampire gardening.
Vampire gardening.
I like that.
So they drive by the house, and my father-in-law liked frogs for some reason. So he had these ceramic frogs, and they had five of them. So they took two with them to Florida.
Mm.
Three, for whatever reason, did not make the cut. Three frogs left behind. They're frogs. It's not the Marines. I guess it's okay.
They didn't make the cut.
They're not part of No Frog Left Behind.
No, they're not. Hold down the fort unless we come back. So the frogs were left behind. It was a sad day for the frogs. You know, they just ribbited as my in-laws drove away slowly.
Apparently when they were told hop to, they didn't.
Exactly. Hop to the suitcase. No, we'll stay behind. Okay. So... my wife decides, you know, all of a sudden she would like these frogs. So they park into her parents' old house. And here's the difference. My wife is a very considerate person.
Mm-hmm.
My wife wants these frogs. Because one of the frogs are right where they left them, I think. One is, like, still on the stairs, mm-hmm. You know, which is the one hanging outside.
Now, I got to ask, because I just came into this. It's her parents' old house?
Yes.
And they're no longer there?
Right. They're in Florida.
Okay. So somebody owns the house now?
Somebody owns the house. By proxy, they
so you're
own the
stealing.
I'm not doing anything. But don't jump ahead. Don't jump ahead. But there's three frogs. One's still on the porch. I don't know where the other frogs are.
Right.
My wife decides she wants these frogs. But mm-hmm. My wife is a very considerate human being.
Yes.
Much nicer than I am.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly. She makes our house a home. I make it a fort. Anyway. So she knocks.
You save that. You can use it someday.
Yeah, probably when I'm being hauled off. So she's knocking on the door, ringing the bell. Nobody's answering. Knocking on the door, ringing. There's no lights on
right.
in the house. My mother-in-law sticks her head out the car window. It's like, it's obvious nobody's home. Can you take the frogs and come on already?
Oh my God. All
right, Ma Barker, hold your horses.
Yeah, thanks for alerting the neighbors to our plans.
Well, you Ma Barker, hold on, we're stealing here.
Oh my God.
Well, no, my wife wasn't going to steal. My wife was going to ask and explain and,
right.
You know, maybe offer money or something. I don't know what my wife was going to do. You or I would steal.
Yeah, but, yeah. You're time to the essence. Yeah. Time for a door.
Yeah. They would have been in the trunk, no questions asked.
Exactly. Well, there would have been no room in the trunk. They would have been strapped to the hood.
To the rope, yes. Yeah. You're right.
So the wife scoops up the frog that's sitting on the porch, which is now on my porch.
I saw that.
And they scooped up two other frogs, which I guess were discarded in the bushes, and they made off with it.
Nah, see? Grab the frogs and let's go, see? Nah, see? Not the boss, never mind knocking, see? Get the car, we're stupid, see? We're going to make a scray. We're going to make an amp scray with it, see? Hey, boss, it's the cop. Nah, hide the frog, see? We don't know nothing.
Lisa called it creatively borrowing.
Creatively borrowing?
An IOU?
I don't know.
So now
she did it with panache.
So now two frogs are in New York.
Okay.
Two frogs are in Florida with my mother-in-law.
Right.
And one frog is now in Massachusetts. There are no longer any frogs in New Jersey.
But there is somebody in Jersey looking around going, what the hell?
Who would steal the frog?
What used to be here? Wasn't there something here? There's a mark.
Mm. Was that the house today that I met you at a couple of times when we were going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it's a very well-to-do neighborhood.
It is very
nice. And it's not like a cul-de-sac or something like that. It's a very public road.
It's a busy
road.
Street.
So, you know, you can't really be kind of
for God's sake, she pulled into the driveway.
Force of habit.
I know, but I mean, if you're going to steal, you go down the block.
Yeah.
You know, you sneak through
you
the
walk,
bushes.
And then you all of a sudden take an accidental right.
Yeah.
You bring a knapsack with you. I mean, that's thought out. This is not thought out.
Yeah, especially with your mother screaming from the car, just grab him and let's go!
Hilarious. Now, let me explain the difference of my wife who wanted to let the people know and perhaps ask if she could have them or pay for them. I don't know what. Here's the difference between her and me. I am staying in Oklahoma at a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a do not disturb sign in my room. I walk down the hall and steal somebody else's.
I do the same thing.
Because we're assholes.
No, because we're sleepy. Bothered or drunk or hungover, usually in my case. I don't want to be
inconsiderate.
Yeah. See, I would have kicked your asses down the hall and back up if that had been my
sign. Yeah, but you don't
sign.
Know us.
Well,
yeah,
no, you don't know. And you're asleep.
It, stupid.
What if you hear rustling and you look through the people and you see some asshole stealing your do not disturb?
What do you think? There's a bunch of varmints out in the hallway? It's a nice hotel.
No,
it's a Holiday Inn.
You're asleep. You're not going to notice till housekeeping knocks.
It's a good point. Like when you hear the shower running, you don't know. Are they walking into the shower? Are they in the you can't go there.
Yeah.
You have to wait for dead silence.
Right.
Yes. That's how you steal a proper do not disturb sign. Number to call in, 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. You are listening to David's Den. We were talking about the mourning process. So here was the ultimate insult. So I didn't even put it on right away. So I put it on then later on.
Yeah.
I come back later and somebody stole my do not disturb sign. People are so friggin' inconsiderate. What is wrong with people?
Bastards.
That's worth. He stole it. Now you got to go jackassing around the hotel to find another one.
No, I just told the housekeeper I want none.
All right.
You know, I'm coming.
Yeah, just leave me alone.
But it's very inconsiderate that somebody would steal my sign after I improperly procured it from somebody else.
I know.
A little consideration.
Yeah, really.
No honor among thieves.
Meanwhile, I was just going to say.
Meanwhile, back east, frogs are being ripped off.
I hope she doesn't go to jail for this.
Yeah. Hardly. Yeah. But you ever be missing something from your yard and then you look around and you're trying to place, something feels different. What is gone?
I'm going to fill in that in another 6 months.
You're not going to have a yard to look at. You'll be fine.
Somebody took our bench a while back.
I remember you talking about that.
And it was just like, it took me like a day, 2 days to notice. Like, there was something felt missing. Something felt weird. I couldn't put my finger on it. And I just basically passed it to drive in and out of the driveway to go to work. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, where the hell did that go?
I had kids that stole my mailbox. I bought this nice barn-style mailbox.
Yeah.
And I liked it. And I put it in and stuff like that.
Is there more after than just putting it in, Joe? Is there more to the process?
Yes.
Maybe
you gotta
plant
dig the
flowers.
You got to dig the post. You got to put the post in. You got to level it. Make sure it goes.
Did you do a lot of manual labor for this?
Yeah.
A lot of time spent?
Yeah. A little time spent putting that in.
A little sweat of the brow?
Right. And you got to put it in.
Were you proud of your mailbox?
I love my mailbox because it was born red and it matched my house, which is born red. So some kids stole it.
Well, they love the job you did with
it. Damn.
Right.
And then,
damn.
And then it was gone for 6 months. And then they brought it back and left it with a note telling me to go fuck myself.
No!
No!
Yes!
No!
You must have pissed somebody off.
I may.
Because you don't just return. I like the balls to return it.
I know!
You just put it in the trash or it's in the woods. We don't want it no more. They put it back. Did they reinstall it?
No, I had to reinstall it.
They told you off.
Then they told you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
after
but in their defense, I mean, if they know Joe.
Then that's pretty par for the course.
Yeah. So then they put it back in. And then the
what they did was
they made a paper cup out of a mailbox and left it there in lieu of it. So not only did they steal it, they left the paper cup mailbox because no hard feelings.
I like thieves who mock.
This is a special type.
And that is so ironic you said that because I remember at the time I was telling Lenore, I go, it's not that they stole it. It's that they're mocking me.
Oh, they're outwardly mocking you.
I go, I am.
You know what they're saying? They're saying, we can do this anytime.
Yeah.
Don't you think about putting up another nice mailbox.
Not only is it vandalism and it's pissing me off, it's also frustrating me that it's brilliance.
Why did I think of this?
And then I put the mailbox back on, then he stole it again.
Did they?
Yeah.
Really?
They did not want you to have that mailbox.
No.
So did they return it the last time?
No, I never saw it again. I think it was the neighbors next door because Joanne and I didn't like them.
So they stole your mailbox, brought it back, and took it again.
Yeah.
Wow, that does take an extra set of balls.
I like that. It's like a criminal in Batman. It's like the Riddler.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you can find me, but here, you just got to riddle this. That's what they did. Their riddle was the paper cup.
You know, and I was telling somebody at the time, I go, what's with kids now? We just used to bash the thing with a baseball bat
and laugh and leave.
Yeah, put an M80 in it and done.
I didn't regale myself to, mind tricks, psychological warfare.
Yeah, but think of the impact that they had versus just smashing somebody's mailbox.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was
brilliant.
It's like,
I like the fact that you had the temerity, the audacity to reinstall your mailbox, and you thought, well, they must be done with me.
No.
How dare you?
No, because we will rebuild. if I don't put that mailbox back, I let those kids win.
You're island strong.
Yes.
You're island strong, Joe Curry.
Lisa says, did you check on eBay?
Slightly used, born red. A born red mailbox that's like $35 at Home Depot.
It's like $3.
But the one I put in now, nobody mess with that. I think they tried because it's one of those big plastic ones.
Yeah.
And I dropped that son of a bitch in. I anchored it. I threw cement in there.
Yep.
Yeah, it ain't going anywhere.
Well, you are. But anyway. Maybe you shouldn't have put so much effort into that mailbox.
You take a cue from your wife and come back after I've sold the house and try to take some more stuff.
Do you want me to see if the mother-in-law fly up to help you while you're trying?
Yeah, really. Nah, see? Put it in the trunk, see? Okay, boys.
She's the getaway vehicle.
I like the impatience of it. Stop being with the niceties.
Stop being with the niceties.
Steal the frogs. Let's go.
They're obviously not there. Just get it.
So you're pulling up like in a 32 Ford Tudor sedan, you know, like the old gangs.
Like the Anthill Mob.
Yeah, like the Anthill Mob.
So I flew out. So I was out of town this week and flew out to Oklahoma. I had asked my wife if she wanted me to cancel.
Right.
She had told me no.
Right.
And then she regretted that decision.
She didn't have a getaway car driver.
And I said, that to Mr. Hillux, and he goes, because that's what women do. That's what he says.
Mr. Hillux is right.
Yeah. So I was like,
you say crap you don't mean.
Yeah. And I said, do I do that? And he goes, no. But that's what most women do.
But no, because I want to get laid.
That's right. Yes, that's true.
Mr. Helix is a bright man. He's like, no, honey, you're different.
No, you're different.
No,
now
you're always on point.
Yeah. Now get on this point.
Well, hey now. So I really just needed these shows to be easy, where I could just run through my material, because, you know, I was running on fumes. I had to wake up really early. Was not sleeping during the week. Emotionally upset, because the worst part is you're flying across the country, you think about your family who's in mourning, you get all sad and everything, all weepy eye.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to sit next to that on a packed plane.
Yeah, no.
You see Al Qaeda run up the aisle, thank God. Thank God. There's a break for this guy. Thank God. Take him.
Take us down, but don't sit me next to Mr. Weebsy. Yeah. Weeps a lot.
I kept it together. Yes. But this was not, I mean, I had a great time at the place, but these were not always the type of audiences that were conducive for me plowing through my stuff. Joe, you'll attest, I mean, you've closed enough shows, and you've certainly been on enough shows, that you can, not every comic on the show gets the same audience.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes it stinks to go first because they're too tight. Sometimes you want to go up earlier because they're still somewhat sober.
Yeah. It's called the middle spot.
Yeah, the middle spot, the sweet spot. And I'm sitting in the back of the room, and I'm watching as the tail end of his middle spot, because the other comics, CJ, start, you know, having great sets, doing a great job. But I could see it starts to get a little raggedy at the end. And
now, by raggedy, what is it, like, because the audience is getting drunk, or
yes.
What are they doing? Okay.
Yeah, it's not he's less funny. It's that they're able to focus a little less.
Okay, right, yeah.
Yeah. Which is why, well, one of the things, why is he headlining? Because a headliner has to handle that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just go, well, you people are so drunk and blah, blah, blah. You got
to
handle
it. No, you got to figure it out. Like, all the young guys, you tell all the younger comics, I don't want to do bar show. No, you're not. You need to do bar shows because that's your late spot. You're, you know,
well, it's funny
you
mention that, Joe, because
yeah.
There's a comic who we both know, and I will write down the name, but I don't want to say it on the air.
Me?
No.
Doesn't want to do that stuff, those
she said
shows.
Comic.
I didn't want to say that, but.
That's why I don't want to do those things
I don't need
anymore.
You to say the name, but I'm sure you'll know who this is.
Okay.
So he was there a couple weeks before, New York guy.
Yeah.
And you know what it is, Joe, when you play other parts of the country, you've done this with me, they're a little trepidatious when the New York, New Jersey guy comes to town.
Yeah.
Because they had somebody who did not represent our area well. I'll say it that way. So this guy, I guess a couple weeks before, was just like calling actual audience members fat, ignorant. Now, in Oklahoma is like a state where you can still smoke inside, which is not a lot of anymore.
No, Michigan, just a handful of,
So he was like making fun of him. He's like, you're going to die. He's making fun of people with tattoos. The club told me he actually ran to the back of the, after the show, ran to the back of the room, like in the green room.
Yes.
And said, I'm so sorry, but I don't want them to kick my butt. Apparently he had like four shows that were just terrible. Now, he did have something, like his longtime girlfriend had just broken up with him.
Okay.
So I guess there's that, but. You know what? You're nobody cares. Nobody, nobody cares. You got to hold it together. You can't do that. Now I explain to them. I go, well, I've only worked with him once. I go, there are people that think he's brilliant.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. But, and I love him to death. But somebody that used to work with him would have to go out, fly, Chicago, whatever, to make sure things went smooth.
Yeah, but you know what? As a club, I don't want to hire that. Keep your brilliance at the open mics. I need to know my people are still laughing and buying drinks.
They're not hostile and going to start break shit when they get into the parking lot.
This isn't 1978 and you're not Steve Martin.
Sometimes, you see, see, the thing about it, he is absolute, to me, he's one of my top five comics. He's a brilliant.
I gotta question your judgment.
No, he's absolutely brilliant, but a lot of people don't get him.
No, there's a difference between not getting and antagonizing an audience.
Well, if they don't get him, he starts to go after
him. Then he's not good. You have to keep it together. Mm. I mean, listen, we all have jokes that people don't get. And you know, there's comics that I think are really funny, but you can't hire them.
Right.
I mean, you're never going to get any. You're not a big star. You've been doing this for years.
Mm-hmm.
You have to figure it out. You have to figure out how to get them to, if not go all the way with you, at least make it so they don't want to kill you. And you know what? And you got to turn it around and go, okay, they're not getting. Turn it around on yourself.
Yeah. Good.
You know, like.
You know, okay, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, but you can't antagonize. You can't go into somebody's home and ridicule them for being themselves in their home.
Right.
You can't do that. It's not professional.
Mm-hmm. No.
So that's why when you say he's brilliant, well, maybe he has moments of brilliance, but he doesn't know how to be a comedian often enough.
I believe me, I understand.
Listen, Ben Carson,
I've sat through those shows myself with him. He's brilliant, but if you don't get him, people just don't get him. And I,
have you seen him turn on? I get the not.
Sometimes I have. A lot of times I've had. There's been results like that. Yes.
Oh boy.
I'm just saying I love him and he's brilliant. I'm not saying this stuff doesn't happen. I'm lying if I say that.
Did you deny you knew him?
No, I think he's
now I know there's other comics that think he's brilliant too. He opened for me once.
Mm-hmm.
It was a VFW. Not an easy gig. He struggled. He struggled. I did not see him turn on them to this degree.
Right.
He struggled. I did really well.
Okay.
So, because I know how to figure it out.
Right.
You know.
But he's more avant-garde. You know, it's a weird story.
How about being funny, Joe?
I think he's hysterically funny. There, you know, there are some things that people see that they don't get.
It's all subjective.
I understand that. But I think he's brilliant, but there are a lot of people that don't get him sometimes. And that's you know, and you know, if you got
the comedy club does not want to hear you discovering yourself.
I understand, but he's even told me once or twice. He goes, "I wish I could be like you, just stick to the script."
Wish I could be you, mediocre and working.
Sticking to the script, at least you know. Yeah, but you know,
that's not even just
script.
Sticking to the script. He didn't stick to the script.
Yeah,
he wrote a script full of hate. I mean, it's cool. I love the creativity. And all. Like I said, when I saw him, I wasn't thinking this is brilliant. When I saw him,
right.
I just saw a guy struggling. I was, because I've watched comics that I think are really good, and I've seen them kill one moment and die in the next, and I've thought to myself, well, this guy's really good, and they don't get him, and this is something different,
but the thing about it is, I'd be working with him all the time, and it's almost like when we both started together. I'll sit and I go, are you people stupid? You don't get this? This is brilliant shit. But, you know, sometimes people have to be spoon-fed stuff.
Or foon-sped. When you're this stupid, you have to be foon-sped. Yeah. You can't even be spoon-fed. That's how dumb you are. You get foon-sped.
Sped. I do that all the time.
You foon-speed people?
No. Yeah. Yes, I do.
You people are morons. I'm not even taking out the spoon to feed you. I mean, so, and they, like, that's, like, the only guy they get. But, I mean, I guess that four shows like that is a special type of bad. I mean, it wasn't a one-off. Because I know when I'm in a place for a couple of shows, I start figuring things out. Not that I'm necessarily altering my act, but I figure out how I'm going to present it, what I'm going to put here, how I'm going to get them to like me so they give my material a chance. And we've talked about before, likability is the key.
Yeah.
If you get them to like you, there's a chance they'll go along with you with the brilliance. Or even if they don't, they'll go, okay.
And they want to like you. So, I mean, I back in the day, I mean, I don't think that I was setting the world on fire with comedy, but there were definitely moments where, because of the likability factor, believe it or not, sometimes audiences liked me, and they would go with me for the ride, even though it wasn't like, okay, this is the cream of the crop material.
But there's also like, they'll give a headliner a lot more leeway. Like, when I do headline, it's like, I go, man, oh, man, I get so much more leeway.
It depends. The expectations are also higher.
Yeah. And it's like, I'll tell you, for the past month, I've been either emceeing shows, opening them cold, or doing for the day program, we do seminars. On the tankless water heaters that we sell.
Oh, sounds funny.
Well, it is, and it's a training. It's a training session, and at dinner, these guys are plumbers that just got done, just pulled their van in. They're eating, they're having a drink, and I'm doing 20 minutes before they start the training session.
Cool.
So, and it's been working out well. I've been doing okay. You know, it's not like a killer set, but it's, you know, I got them focused in one direction. So
now, are you doing your regular material?
Yeah, regular material.
You're not doing material focused on what you do, because I mean that would be great. You'd have the
I do. You know, it's kind of business, because I also do a thing at the end where I thank them for coming. And stuff like that. So it's more like a corporate thing.
Yeah.
But I've been doing these where I've just been going up cold, 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 cold.
Yeah.
Last Sunday, this Sunday, I was at McGuire's this Sunday, and it was at Governor's last Sunday. It was so nice to go on stage in the middle of the show with a warm crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, and I'm going, I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's the position of the show. As the MC, it's the toughest part, because you're getting them cold. You have to get them going.
Well, it's not always the toughest part. Not always, as my other acts attested to this weekend.
Yeah,
they were thrilled that they weren't closing.
Oh, yeah,
because these shows, I liked the people.
Yeah,
I had good shows.
Yeah,
but they were getting increasingly drunk. Like on one show, as soon as I hit the first of all, it's our job, if you're smart, to scout out the room. I watch the room before the show, during the show, and you could say, all right, this person's going to be a jerk. And there was this one guy who was just, like, harassing the bartender. But she's a no-nonsense chick, and I kind of dug that about her. But just being a pain in the ass. Because there's waitresses. There's no reason to be up in the bartender's face.
Yeah, and there's a headliner. You have a because if you go there, you get to see the audience. You get to see the audience when they're just sitting there. So you try to surmise. And sometimes, you know, you'll see a crowd that you think are going to suck, but they're really good. Or something. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to be a great night. And it's not. If you're going up first, you know, you don't get to really soak it in as much. If you're the middle, you get enough of it from the MC.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the headliner, you do have the luxury to soak up the whole show and really get a battle plan going. All right, this this is how they are. This is how I'm going to proceed with the set. This is where the room is right now.
Yeah, but the problem is if drinking is involved, it gets decreased. It's like being in the middle of a hurricane. Conditions are decreasing rapidly.
Yeah,
but you're saying so you're doing all this prep, Joe, and you're like trying to figure out who's who and who's going to be the easy ones and everything. But then when they're drinking, their personalities tend to change.
I don't do any of that.
But sometimes it's you don't drink. No, but what I do is when I got on
proud
stage.
Proud of yourself with that one?
No, but I got on
stage. Honest answer. I'll accept that.
But the only critic was you actually had to think for a couple of minutes. What is he? Proud of that? You actually had to think and figure it out. But anyway, usually when you have to take an alpha position, not to be rude and nasty, but you have to take a position with confidence when you get on stage.
Right.
That you're in command of the stage right from the get-go.
And and if somebody's going to attack you, you got to nail them right away. Yeah. But you can't be too nasty.
Right.
And you got to be – and it sounds kind of – obviously, Joe, but you have to be funny right off the bat. There's no, well, I'll try this and then – no, you've got – within 3 minutes, you've got to let him –
3 minutes?
Just to set
3
up –
3 minutes? There's not three. You don't have 3 minutes.
I don't mean within 3 minutes. I mean three. You've got 3 minutes.
You don't. What I'm telling you is you don't have that much time.
But what I'm saying is you have to usually get. You know, you got to be funny right off the bat.
You got a minute, dude. You got a minute till you get that laugh or address what's going on in the room.
All right.
You don't have three minutes.
I'll agree. But in a 3 minute period, you really have to be that way to get them going.
You
got to
get that laugh right off the first bat. Or you got to address what's going. You have two choices. You either address what's going on,
right,
or you be funny. There's no meandering.
Yeah.
So like, just say that they're all, like, drunk and they're acting like buffoons.
They're not all drunk. But that's just the thing. They weren't all drunk.
Okay.
I mean, fortunately, these shows, there was a lot of people that really wanted to listen to the material. But they were certainly drunk. One group got, first of all, I hit the stage. He's like, you got a nose on you. I'm like, yeah, we all do. If I didn't, that would really be quite the conversation piece.
And do people like that?
Yeah, because it's like, what
it's
are
like,
you
duh.
Doing? And of course, this guy, I'm like, where are you from? He's from Jersey. I go, this is why people hate us.
Right, and that's what you call calling the moment. Call calling them up. If they're drunk, you go up there and go, Jesus Christ.
Now, he's with two lovely ladies. He's with two lovely ladies. They're fine, but, these people have been warned enough because they they're getting removed. They get kicked out. You know, of course, that's distracting.
Yes.
Security has to come and makes a scene. So they get kicked out. You deal with that. Then 5 minutes later, they came back.
Oh, no.
It was like a train of intoxication.
They came back.
I don't know. But I guess because they forgot something. And I don't know why, like, a security
guard. What, their dignity? What?
Hey, you're assuming they had that at one point.
Yeah, really.
And then on the same show, this other drunk starts talking about, aliens. Like, what, like Roswell, New Mexico or something? They're here. The aliens are here. Not those type of aliens.
Oh,
there was a Native American man who came to all of our shows. He comes to all the shows.
Oh, cool.
Came to all the shows, I said, because he was talking about illegal immigrants, obviously. I go, well, if he asked this gentleman here and his family, they'd say, you're the illegal alien. They were already here.
Yes.
And that got a nice round of applause. But that's the type of stuff I had to do.
Yes.
Like, just think. So quick.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, we're recording every show, and they're all going to be not what I wanted. But, I mean, the shows were good. Place was good. I enjoyed myself there. And it was actually good that the shows were this way, because if I just was going through my material, I could probably recite my material and get lost in my thoughts.
Right.
Which would not be as good of a show.
Yeah,
and it wouldn't be good, and with what my thoughts were, it wouldn't have been good.
Well, yeah, because there's a sort of disconnect. You know, you really want to be connected with the audience, and there's some nights you have a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really on. You disconnect. And every comic is like that. Like with me, there are nights where I'm like, I want to do a good job, want to have a good time, but it's like, we should be hanging out with Joe's girl, or watching a movie, or something like that.
Yeah.
I've often thought I should be hanging out with Joe's girl.
So do I.
Middle of the night. I wonder what Joe's girl's doing right now.
Hey, let me tell you, this girl's a saucy minx. I was just saying how it's ladies' night in the den pen right now because the guys stepped out. I think Tom had something to do.
Godelay left us.
Yeah, he did. And so we're all excited. Yay, it's ladies' night in the den pen. And I said, I'll buy the first rounds on me. No, I mean, because I'll spill it on me. And she goes, well, we'll lick anything off. And I'm like, hello. Hello, Joe's girl.
I like how Joe's
good girl.
Joe's girl is basically, we should rename it Pip's girl. I mean, I know. I mean, let's be honest about it. It's not the first time a comment's going your way.
Oh, I know, I know. Well, she says, don't waste alcohol. And I'm like, good girl.
That's what it is.
Sure. That's what it is.
That's all right. Yeah.
Formerly Joe's girl.
No.
Trying to move in on your territory there, Joe.
It was not very hard to steal her at all, Pip.
I know. But I just have that thing, you know.
I don't know what that thing is.
Yeah, not that thing, but
herpes.
I have a thing. Yeah.
So, but it was actually very good that my shows were very consuming of my mind and needed me all in.
I'll say.
But so today is our anniversary.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. 13 years of marriage.
Wow, that went fast.
It sure did.
Okay, you're not married to me, so I guess.
I'm just saying.
You were both there.
I think back of the roast. And the,
yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
we
boy.
Just talked about that a couple weeks ago. Well, that's the nice thing about doing this show. I'm not just doing the radio show with two people. I'm doing a radio show with two friends that have been in my life for a very long time.
Yes.
Yeah, you're poor man.
It's going to be very hard to say goodbye to you both, but, you know.
Think for yourself.
Look,
look like the Roadrunner when he leaves.
Yeah, you're like a boomerang. Bye. Can I come back? I didn't mean it.
You let me.
Let you walk?
No, let me come back, sucker.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
As guilty as me.
Seemed like a good idea at the time. We liked your dysfunction.
Yeah.
Yes. Who else is going to do the editing?
Oh, man.
No, he's right.
These iHeart clips aren't going to edit themselves.
You're going to let him bullshit me. He can run Audacity. Huh? He stays.
He didn't mean it.
He's brought a skill, or he's learned a skill on the show.
Everybody has to provide something. Yeah. You, it's Audacity. You have it, and you know how to use it.
Put that in the bio, the show bio.
What are his skills? Audacity.
Audacity. Well,
but yeah, you guys were there from the beginning. So we were not going to do anything for this anniversary, you know, because of what's going on with my father-in-law.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, you get to a point, you go, how many knickknacks, how many massages, how much jewelry?
Wait, back up. How many massages?
Yeah, like I'll buy her massages.
Yeah, lots. Lots.
I buy her massages.
Endless.
She can pay for it herself. But I mean, we get to the point, you go, well, if I want it, I'll get it myself.
Right.
Now, she bought me my my drones.
Yes.
That which were flying around. I was flying around my Millennium Falcon before the show.
I know. I told him that hits me in the head.
Can only help.
He said, I don't think you'll break it.
It's made out of foam. It's fine. But
he met my head.
Yeah. But in lieu of everything that's going on, my wife had said, one of the things she was very upset about, because there's like old family videos with her father and him, but unfortunately the father, as is often the case, is the one who's doing the filming.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not in them, and you don't hear the father a lot. She was like, well, if I could just hear his voice, you know, I'll never hear his voice again. And I said, well, you know, he's probably on the wedding video.
Yeah.
But that really stuck with me. So, I have Cablevision is my cable company. I don't know if you guys have ever had Cablevision.
I got them, yeah.
I have them.
One of the things Cablevision does, if you still have a landline, like you do, Joe, and mm-hmm. I think, and you do, Pip.
Yes.
If somebody leaves a message on your landline, it will email you and let you know there's a message, and the message will be there. Have you guys discovered this feature?
No, you're the one who told me about that. Yes. I had no idea I could do that.
Yes.
No, I haven't discovered it. However, on my answering machine at home is about 4 to 5 messages from my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. My father-in-law has been gone, I believe, almost four years in November, and my mother-in-law will be gone 3 years in February.
Well, I mean, for Joanne, you guys got to figure out a way so she could get that on the computer.
That, you know, with everything that's going on, you know, because I tell it, I go, look, can you get these messages? Yeah, well, there's all these messages on there, but there's all these other messages, and I go, you've got to erase these messages. Well, I've never erased my, I know. But there
she's got to get them off the tape, because next thing you know, the tape will break, and then she won't have
it. And they're done.
She's got to, for her, and there's places where she can do that.
Right.
Yeah. So
you know what? You could even help her do that with Audacity. You could even play it and feed it into Audacity, you know, play it from the recorder, put a mic by there, and feed it into the computer.
Yeah, I gotta figure
if
something
you
up for
decide
we...
to do that for her. I don't know if you would at this point.
You know what? With everything going on, I would do it because I would. There's a tape that on a mini cassette of my mom that I had. I used to listen to the mini cassette. I don't have a mini cassette player anymore, so here. But it's just. It's kind of
that too. I might have one. You can borrow it and do the same thing.
Yeah.
If you
but
want.
It's very it's a soothing thing to hear it. You know,
right.
It's just you know, it brings you back. So I would no matter how bad we fight and argue and stuff like that, I would never ever erase that. That just would be a horrible thing to do. I couldn't do that.
You're listening to Davin's Den. Number 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. Another upbeat show about morning. It's not all frog thievery. Yeah.
But it should be.
Brought to you by the Acme Casket Handle Company. Yeah.
Wait, get their number.
Yeah.
So I remember we have recordings. So I went back from 2010 because that's when we got Cablevision. So I searched recordings of him. And there's not a lot. So I did find one where he says, "Hi, sweetheart, it's me, Dad." And then, you know, there's the rest of the message. And then, you know, "I love you, dear." So I heard all that. And I'm like, all right. So I plugged it into Audacity.
Mm-hmm.
And I edited it up. So I got rid of all the other stuff. He was actually calling to look for my dad's phone number because we were going golfing. I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
But I edited it all up and I recorded it. I also found one where he was, like, speaking nicely about my granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was actually about his granddaughter. My daughter was actually... because they had gone bowling, and he was saying how much he enjoyed going bowling with her,
aww.
And you know, so I have that too. So I'm like, all right, well, now what do I do? I mean, I guess I could just, give her the messages, give my wife that, so she could hear it. But I didn't think that was really enough,
right?
So one of the great things that my father-in-law's children and his grandchildren will tell you is he was great at hugging and cuddling.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, all right, well, what can we do with this? So I thought about putting it into a stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I could figure out how to get the... I didn't know how to do this. I didn't know such a thing existed. So I found Build-A-Bear could do it. But before I decided, I was pretty much decided on Build-A-Bear. But there was something else I discovered. You can actually, like, have clone stuffed animals of people made. So, like, if I gave somebody, like, a picture of you, they can make, like, a stuffed animal of you.
Oh, something for you to stick with pins.
As the case may be.
That's not a doll for you. That's a voodoo doll for you.
No!
Ouch! Cut it out, you little...
No, no, honey. Put Joe's head underneath the tire.
Ouch! Just I'm in the middle of... ouch! Somewhere in another club, stupid's having a ball.
Blue Hawk my ass. We'll break his wing.
I haven't been Blue Hawk in a while.
That's good.
Watch what I do to my co-host.
Yeah. Prop act. So... I was thinking, well, I could get this this stuffed father-in-law and put the video thing in the audio thing in there. But I thought that might be a little too creepy.
I was just about to say, I was like, all right, you got to relax.
And I called Pip on this because and Pip kind of agreed.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's
like, kind
of.
I was like, yeah, no.
That's
a little
creepy.
Much.
Yeah, it's a little
but
much.
I did think
it's
of,
a little
not
much.
A tiny
it's
little
a creepy,
Ted
it's
tall.
A lot of creepy, not a little much.
Yeah.
But I did think of a great use for this thing.
Right.
So you get if your pal's getting married,
mm-hmm.
and you're like a groomsman or something,
mm-hmm.
you get one of his mother-in-law, and then you have her record. I see what you're doing. Knock it off. Don't touch her there.
And you give him my baby.
Stop touching my daughter.
We never liked
baby.
You.
And you get that for their bedroom.
But why can't you get that thing in a bear? Put it in a regular bear.
I can.
Yeah. I'm doing a bear.
That's what I did.
Okay.
So I got it in a bear, but you got to dress a Build-A-Bear. You just can't. You know, well, I wanted a frog, obviously. They didn't have frogs.
Yeah.
So I got it like a cuddle.
It's called Build-A-Bear, not Build-A-Frog.
No, but they had Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay.
I have a bunny.
From Build-A-Bear?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they cycle in different animals.
Yeah.
It was not Frog Week. I don't know what to tell. All the frogs were stolen.
My friend had a penguin.
Okay. Stop your bragging. You get what Build-A-Bear gives you, all right?
No, you pick.
But
they
have
don't
them.
Have everything.
No, but they had all the Star Wars figures, which was nice.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, well, because the Star Wars movie coming out. So then what I decided to do is I wanted to get a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know of whether to do just my father-in-law. A picture for the shirt that to dress the Build-A-Bear. So I had to get a little white Build-A-Bear t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if I should just get a picture of my father-in-law or father-in-law and my wife. And again, I call Pip because I really that one I didn't like. I kind of knew the other thing was creepy, but because I'm smart like that. But
you know, and I call Pip, and you call me. How the hell do I know? I don't know.
I wouldn't call you.
The clips are almost done.
But you know what's the saddest part about this is that. No, we started the show with talking about what a creep I am. He's calling me for advice on this. And I'm
like the other option.
That's not many places to run.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, oh, a rock hard place.
Yeah, right. The less of it, the lesser evil.
I'm not going to call her family.
No.
And you, Pip, have known my wife for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
17 years, maybe?
As long as I've known you.
Along to 15, 16.
I met her, like, days after I met you.
You met me the same day you met her.
That's class. Right. That's
now,
right.
Did you
introduced
just
me
really
at
quick,
class.
What did you, again, where did you two meet?
A comedy class. You could see how it worked well for us.
It worked for him.
I was coming back to comedy because I had stopped when it was so much harder to come back, and Pip was just getting into it.
Okay.
And
that's where, how long did you stop for?
What?
How long did you stop
I stopped for several months because I was doing the law school thing. And it was a portion of law school where I hadn't done any comedy at all, and I got back into it.
I'm curious because I stopped for almost 5 years.
I didn't stop that long, but it was worse. Right. I was worse when I came back. But Pip and I immediately clicked, and Pip and my wife immediately clicked.
Yes.
So Pip knows my wife pretty well. So I ran it by her, and she said, "No, get the picture of the two of them together."
Yeah.
Which I did, and there was a picture that was fairly recent. I guess it was the first selfie that my wife and my father-in-law took. So I got that, and they put the image on the bear. So now I have a Build-A-Bear with the T-shirt, with the picture of my wife and father-in-law, where if you squeeze his little paw, it says, "Hi, sweetheart. It's me, Dad. I love you, dear."
So. See, now,
that's really nice.
When he told me that, I start crying on the phone because I'm a big puss.
I'm almost ready to cry right now.
I know. I was just like, I want
that. And
I'm
a mean, nasty prick.
I know. I was saying that before you walked in.
Yeah, I know. Breaking me. That's very, very, very nice.
I know.
You can't
nice.
Be a creep all the time.
No, yeah. You can't.
I mean, even on the seventh day, God rested.
Yeah. That's very, very nice.
Man.
What?
You just called God a creep.
No, he's a creep, but you know, even God, you know, I mean, when you're
even God took a breather.
When you're
it's exhausting being this creepy.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
You're not even in my league, sweetheart.
And your trade is being an insensitive prick. You know, sometimes it gets boring.
Exactly.
You gotta
mix it up a little bit with some sensitivity and character. Yeah.
When you have cards printed out, you're a prick.
Yeah, you've seen them.
Yes.
So, and the girls who helped me make it, you know, at the Build-A-Bear and the T-shirt place, you know, they were very emotional about it, too.
Yeah.
And they liked the idea. So I gave it to my wife this morning, and she broke down and cried, which is what you want to do before she goes to work. But,
yeah.
But, you know.
But in a good way.
But that's, in a good way, yeah, because that's very sweet.
Yeah, it really is.
Consider it. Wow.
You seem shocked that I could be almost human.
No, I.
It's like,
no, because it's like,
nice.
But it's like such a really sweet thing, you know, coming from a heartless prick. It's just amazing.
Only towards you. Yeah, I'm showing heart to you.
I know, upset now. No, I'm not a heartless prick.
I've been nice to
with the bear. No, but with everything else,
I've been
else,
nice to you on occasion when necessary.
Yeah, I know.
Now he's yelling at you. No bears for you.
No. Yeah, like anybody wants his voice in a bear. Just, nobody wants a bear that yells.
They don't
at them.
Want this voice on the show.
Nobody wants to press a little bear and go, "God damn it."
That'd be that, Nate.
That would be hilarious.
That would be anybody that would press it, go, "Yeah, that's him."
Yeah. Nobody wants to cuddle with that.
There was this, when I worked at one of the fence companies, there was a Spanish guy that used to run around imitating me with his eye. Who the hell? Who the hell? Who the hell? Joe Cuddy, who the hell? Who the hell?
Exactly. It's not a Build-A-Bear, it's a building rabid grizzly. You have a bear that foams at the mouth? No, I don't want something soft. I want something that has razors on it. It's a Joe Curry bear, damn it. Now I'll take the blue. Can we put wings on it? He thought he was a superhero. Yeah.
Do you have one shaped like the stingray that killed?
What do you have in a prick?
What do you have? Well, come into the back room.
Nobody really asked for these, but this is a special request.
Funny. But that was very sweet.
Thank you.
Really
yeah,
sweet.
Really.
So now, because my sister-in-laws, all three of them, really like this.
No, God, now you're going to have a whole zoo of them.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So we emailed the message.
Oh.
And some of them have messages, too. So I offered to edit them up if they want. So it's nice. And my mother-in-law called me before she flew out today. And you know, she wished me happy anniversary, but she thought that was very sweet. So. Mm.
It really was. I mean, you really got me when you told me that, and
I was really tearing up when I thought it. I'm okay now.
Yeah.
For some reason, But I mean, a lot of times when I told
you, Mr. looked like the Grinch when it found Christmas. Yeah.
All right.
HawkRadio.net. You can also listen to replays of the show every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on RainRockRadio.com and TalkSuperStation.com on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You'll find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.